You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Ian, look at this.
What, it's a police box. What on earth is he doing here? I mean, these things are usually on the street. I feel it. Feel it, you feel it?
It's a faint vibration.
It's alive.
Earth Station Who, a fun mashup celebrating nearly 50 years of Doctor Who universe. Hold tight. You never know where the TARDIS is going next.
Who are you?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that again. Bit of adrenaline, dash of outrage, and a hint of panic knitted my brain back together. I know exactly who I am. I'm the Doctor. Sorting out fair play throughout the universe. Now, please, get off this planet while you still have a choice.
Hey there, and welcome to Earth Station Who. That's right, folks. We're back for episode 3. That's right, 3 of season 12 of Doctor Who. We are talking all about Orphan 55. So we get to go on vacation with the Doctor and her fam, which is never turns out the way they expect it to be. And it'll be interesting to talk about. I hope we can make it more than 15 minutes, so it'll be cool. So we got a great crew to talk all about it. Of course, let's welcome Mr. Mike Gordon.
Howdy.
How are you this week, sir?
Peachy keen.
And of course, we have the lovely and talented Mary Ogle.
Hi, everybody. It's great to be here.
And joining us once again is Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Hey.
All right. So we have a good show to talk all about this week. I said that very tongue in cheek. And so it'll be
Benny.
Oh, I felt bad for her. Okay. We'll talk all about that in a second. Remember, there will be spoilers in this episode. So if you haven't watched Orphan 55 yet, consider yourself lucky. I mean, you will be spoiled.
Yeah, well, it was spoiled all right.
I really wanted to like this one too, and I really, really did. But it makes last week's look like masterpieces. Get it? Get it? Masterpieces.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see what you did there.
Hey. Maybe that
was all part of Chibnall's evil plan.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Well, we definitely would love to hear from you guys at home, so please write us at earthstationwho@esonetwork.com. Tell us what you guys thought about this one. Definitely would love to hear how this stacks up against last season's episodes, against what we've seen so far, about any, past episodes when the Doctor's going on vacation. We actually just recently did Midnight not that long ago on the show.
Oh my God, a million times better episode.
Yes, so much better.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And, we thought Ryan was going to fall in love. Aww. So let us jump
in. Only Ryan had fallen in love and left the TARDIS.
Yeah, stayed behind with the rest. Oh yeah. So this originally aired the 12th of January, 2020. And of course, Jody is the Doctor along with Ryan. Yes, and our best friend in the whole world, Graham! This is all Graham's fault this episode, by the way. Because he won the trip to on vacation. So
he put the coupons together.
Exactly.
I want to know the economics of those coupons.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It kind of kidnaps you, on vacation.
It takes you through time too, I guess.
Well, it's the TARDIS, of course. So you don't know when in time this takes place. And basically the Doctor and his crew, or her crew, sorry, force of habit, sorry, go to Tranquility Spa via transport cube. And then the fun begins right as soon as they get there. Ryan gets a virus. And not just a virus, like
a hopper virus.
That was actually funny. I like that.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting. And I definitely, I think that was one of the highlights of this one for me.
Right, the first five minutes.
Yeah.
Seeing, then it was all downhill from there.
Seeing Ryan get a virus was the highlight for you. That's not surprising to me at all.
No, it was another one where Yaz was pretty much worthless.
They all were useless.
Yes, yeah. Did nothing.
Once again, can we get a broom? Can we just get a broom? Because
sweeping out.
they're all just useless.
Well, they were doing
something. Can we get a room for the writers? Because it's not the actors, it's the writers.
There's three of them, and they don't know what to do with any of them. Like, that's what really annoys me. It's like, you know, it's not a question of, oh, well, this one didn't get a... Like, we can't even say that Graham's, like, taking over this season, because even he's been relegated to being just useless. I mean, outside of him putting together the invitation and them getting zapped, he does nothing else. Like none of them do anything to further the plot or the storyline, you know?
I think they try to get Ryan to do something with the subplot with Bella, but it's such a stupid subplot that does nothing to advance the story.
Mm, they both were sucking their thumbs.
Yeah, they're just both useless.
Well, this is from the same writer that gave us our talking frog last season.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, we had to go there. Okay. But yeah, it was, you know, we have talked about this multiple times. It's not the actor's fault at all, you know, for these episodes being bad. It's the writing and it's Chibnall.
Well, you know? We can't blame the actors because we really haven't. Well, with Bradley, I know that I've seen him do competent work. The other two, I've never seen them in anything else, so I have nothing else to compare them to. I can only hope that they're above this material, but yet they've done nothing to help us prove that. They certainly don't, you know, I think out of all of them, Jodie is the only one that rises above it, really.
Well, she was great once again, though. I agree with
and
you.
Even she struggles at times, but I think it's to her credit that she rises above the material that she's given, and she's the only one that's doing that.
Yeah, she is trying so hard in this episode. I mean, she is selling it every step of the way, even though she is saddled with the clunkiest dialogue, just hours of exposition. I mean, you know, the tenet of writing is show, don't tell. And throughout the whole thing, she's practically narrating the episode, trying to make sense of this whole incoherent mess. And I give her credit for, you know, really, really selling it. But it is just, it's so badly written that it goes nowhere. It is
the explanation of what an orphan planet was given twice in succession.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Yeah, when the second time I'm like, didn't we already answer this?
I mean, my word for this episode was disappointing, because I feel like we have Jodie Whittaker is a treasure. She's like she's a wonderful actress. She's a great doctor, and for her to be saddled with this kind of material is just disappointing.
Well, and I'm going to, you know, echo that. And on top of that, skip to the end, because the message that she gives at the end is so powerful and she delivers it so well that it really makes me forgive a lot of the crappiness of this episode. I shouldn't, but it does, because she delivers it so well. And I know that, you know, on the one hand, I know what they're trying to do. I didn't feel that it was like a, you know, I mean, yes, it had problems, but a lot of them I could oversee. And it just wasn't rising above what I would expect from this series. So I kept thinking that it was going to be cleverer than it was. Like, about, let's see, I think by the time they made it to the tunnels, I kept thinking, oh, maybe this is like some sort of like Westworld thing, where, because it seemed like there were a lot of people dying, but it didn't seem like anybody really like gave it much gravity, much consequence,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, there goes another guest. Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought, well, maybe this is some sort of like Westworld world where they're all signed up for these, like, you know, adventures or whatever. And it's not really, they're not really in any danger. You know, I thought there was going to be some twist there because we never saw what happened to anybody. You know, and a lot of times you're like, well, that's really, you know, cool. Cause like, as you know, as Hitchcock says, just let it, people think about it and it's going to be worse than anything they could do that they could show. But in this case, it did nothing to, I mean, they didn't even give us a hint. It was just like, oh, people are disappearing. And we had no idea what was happening to them. So
you didn't know if they were being eaten, just killed, whatever. Right. You don't know what was happening to.
Except like Benny.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Benny was the first, the, you know, perfect example. But even before that, when guests started disappearing, like I said, you just weren't, we didn't know what happened to them. So we saw a couple of people react, but I mean, that wasn't, I don't think that was strong enough.
I will say this. Yaz has the best horror look on her face. We've seen it multiple times on the show so far, but you know, she, we just got to see it again tonight.
Oh, when the woman goes,
yeah, when the old lady
when
goes,
Benny's, would-be fiance goes,
exactly.
Yes,
the best horror face though was the doctor when Graham mentions his speedo.
Especially when after he said there's multiple ones.
After that, yes. Nothing scarier.
I think we all were wearing the horror look.
Yeah, that was the most horrifying thing about the episode. Good call there. Yeah, so I just, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like it's tough because, you know, the message is there. Obviously, it's not a new, you know, I mean, heck, I just saw Planet of the Apes, you know, it was the same kind of thing. It's like, oh my God, they blew it up. Like, it's the same thing. Although
it's the same exact thing almost.
Well, yes and no. I did really notice in this one, you know, like a lot of people are talking about, it's about climate change, whatever, but this one really makes a point to blame those in the like one percenters that are in charge of everything. It seems to go out of its way to suggest that they're more at fault, you know? And I thought that was kind of interesting. Instead of just society in general messing up and not caring, this seemed to be saying, and you know, it's the people that are in charge that are really responsible for this. It seemed like it was a real direct finger pointing.
I just found it really heavy-handed.
Sure.
I felt like I was sitting in a lecture.
Yeah.
An endless lecture. And I mean, I absolutely agree with the message. And I have nothing against having a message as part of the story. I actually love it when a story and a message work together. But you can't make the message more important than the story. They have to be like co-equal partners and they have to kind of drive each other. And I mean, in this one, I just felt like over on this side, everybody's running around. And on this side, the doctor's lecturing us about climate change. And Jody sold it. She did it well. I agree with that. But I just think it was clunky writing.
There were I saw a lot of comments online of people complaining that Doctor Who shouldn't be doing anything like this with the lecture and everything. And yet, this is the Green Death.
They've been doing this all along.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they've always been political.
Over 50 years worth of this. Come on, always. Guys. Yeah.
I think it's, as Mary pointed out, this is just so bloody obvious that I think that's more insulting than the actual message, right? I mean, and when it's, you know, when she's saying things like, you know, it's not decided, you know, you forget how powerful you are. You can choose, you can do something. It seems like empty words when the people around her are just useless and not doing anything. Like it's like Mary said, it's like, you have to show us, don't just say this. Like the speech is a good one, but unless the characters are doing something that proves that this is capable, that we're capable of this, then it just falls on deaf ears, really. It just doesn't, it's empty words.
Oh, very much so. I'm going to throw something out. These monsters looked very familiar. They looked very similar to the creature that the Doctor and Rose were chasing after at the beginning of Love and Love and Monsters?
Love and Monsters. Yeah, that's a Hoix. They look like crosses between a Hoix and Weevils from Torchwood.
Yeah, very much so. And it was just,
I like the look of them.
They were good.
Yeah, I thought the effects on the monsters were actually pretty good. I mean, the monsters were nothing really, but I mean, they weren't developed character wise in any way.
Yeah, it was
the effects. Were good.
I mean, there's nothing left on the planet. What do they eat? Each other?
Humans. I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't even know if they're eating people.
Yeah.
Because we didn't see anything.
Exactly. I don't know that they were eating people for food. I don't know what they were doing with people. So, you know, apparently it was something horrible, but we have no idea what it was. So, yeah, obviously that's not their main source of substance.
But they were doing something with the people because you didn't see bodies laying around the station when everyone was running through.
Blood. Sure. Blood. They were carrying them away to, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were just more locks, basically. I mean,
yeah. Oh, exactly. That's exactly right. It was basically, you know, the time machine. No pun intended.
It's interesting. It's interesting to me. Sorry, Kirby. It's interesting to me, though, that I mean, this is not even the first time we've seen like Earth. You know, it's this big revelation that this is Earth, right? Where it's like, I mean, we've seen plenty of stories in Doctor Who where, you know, the Earth doesn't make it. Like, the Earth is not a happy place to be in the future. There's a lot of different. I don't think we've. I'm trying to think of any time where we've seen a future where the Earth was cool. Like, usually it's either destroyed or colonists have gone some other places and created a new Earth or whatever.
Well, exactly. Because
they're escaping a plague. So,
well, yeah, exactly. Because if you think about it, this was, you know, this could have been the time of on Earth when the Doctor and Amy were seeing the giant space whales. And everything, because they said Earth was evacuated because of the radiation storms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that also touches it back to the Tom Baker era. Same thing, because with the space station.
Yeah. And that's, I thought of
and
that.
Even though, you know, the Earth is in this case not inhabitable because of the situation that we put it in, I mean, we all know that science-wise, the Earth is limited in terms of how long it's going to be around. And we are going to, at some point, need to get off the planet if we want to survive as a race. I mean, our sun's going to go and we have to move somewhere. So the Earth is going to be destroyed. I mean, so, you know, if you go far enough in the future, you're going to see that. And
Rose did.
Right.
Yeah. You just have to go to the second episode.
That's true. True. So, you know, I mean, it's not a shock to say that, you know, oh my God, Earth, they seem so upset about it. And yet it's inevitable. You know, that's the thing that, I mean, obviously it's more upsetting to know that we didn't do something about it and that kind of thing. And yes, that kind of does suck, but we have no real indication here of how far in the future we are. You know, if we're transported through time and space through this, an invitational device, we have no idea. So it must be, I don't know where we are in the beginning. So and you know, I mean, we've seen several times where the Doctor takes his companion someplace, even intentionally, to be a relaxing trip, and it never works out that way. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, you know, you never invite Sherlock Holmes for dinner because someone's gonna die. Like, it's just you know, or Angela Fletcher for that matter, you know, it's like, you know, and it's not. So I like I did like the fact that they didn't even waste any time, like, you know, with like they were, I don't know, relaxing for all about 3 minutes before shit started going down. So it's like we all knew something was going to happen and they just got right to it. And at least I appreciated the immediacy of that. It's like, just don't give us this, like, you know, 15 minutes in, oh my God, something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I started a list of other Doctor Who stories that I got hints of in this as well. The main two were Mysterious Planet and Leisure Hive.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Midnight.
Midnight.
That emoji one. The spa in peril trope is alive and well in Doctor Who.
Oh,
well,
God,
not
yes.
Not so well.
Well, think about it. Even at the beginning of the Five Doctors, the fifth Doctor took Tegan and Turlough to this planet in the Eye of Orion, to, you know, which is the most relaxing planet in the galaxy, so they could all chill out. And then he started having himself ripped apart.
Yeah, if you're a companion and you and a doctor tells you we're going on vacation, run.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty much true wherever they're going, right?
Yeah.
I suppose there are times where it doesn't happen, and those are the times we never see or read about because they're not there, it's that exciting. But it does kind of just give us this one impression, like, yeah, if you travel with the doctor, you're gonna, you know,
it's
your heart,
endless torment.
Your heart is gonna be racing. That's why, like, at the beginning of the season, when Graham's, you know, at the doctor's, I'm surprised the doctor didn't register any sort of high levels of anxiety, cardio, like that kind of thing. Cause I'm like, dude, he's been traveling with the doctor. Like, he should be in all kinds of weird shape.
Yeah. That actually would have been funny if he had turned and said, you know, I think you need to cut down on the stress a little bit. It's
like, exactly.
I want to see the story with the deep space squid that they were cleaning up.
At. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad when the
let the tentacle jokes proceed.
Exactly. Boom. If only that squid would have won. Oh well. But then, you know, it was interesting because they also touched on it. The doctor's still in a mood. Obviously, the picking up from the end of last episode.
Sure. I think that's the only thing we've got as a tie through line for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That and the fact that they're starting not to trust her more so because, you know, not only do when they find out that it's Earth, you know, I think Yaz says, how long did you know? Like they're asking questions like they're second guessing her. They're really not trusting her, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think that the doctor knew before they ran across the Russian side.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, when they got out of the space van or whatever you want to call it,
space van,
you know, and there was barbed wire, you know, used to stop it. It was like, wow, it looked kind of like, you know, Earth.
That van reminded me of a 70s movie. What was it? Damnation Alley.
Yes, very much so, actually.
Yeah.
I think, and also, you know, just to point out more inconsistencies, it really kind of was stupid and sloppy when at the beginning of the episode, you know, the doctor goes in and fixes their,
neural net or whatever.
Their neural net, right. And, you know, someone's like, I think the person's like, how could you fix that? And she's like, you know, I could, you know, how can you recreate that? And she's like, I can create you if you give me enough ingredients or whatever. And then later on when the transporter, oh, only one person can fix the transporter. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you just told us like 40 yeah. minutes ago that the doctor can fix anything. And now there's this transporter that only one person, actually the kid, can fix.
Yeah.
Well, the kid is the brains of the outfit.
Just terrible writing.
It happens that the Hopper virus is the only thing that could fix it, too.
Yeah, it just seemed like...
They were lucky they had the Hopper virus.
Yeah. Well, duh. Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, that was... That kind of sloppiness is like that. Yeah, that doesn't help matters at all.
Well, it's also, even the costuming was sloppy, like hyphen with a three. She looked like a bad reject from Cats outtakes. And
I was like, thinking more like Barf from Spaceballs.
What? Yes. And then it's like, they're aliens. All we have to do is give them green hair.
Mm-hmm.
Sigh. And
make a green hair joke.
Yeah, I was kind of, you're right, Mary. Now I think about it, it was kind of disappointing that they were just lazy because usually you get like, and this felt to me like a very watered down Tenet episode to me. You know, I was thinking of the one where they're on the Titanic or whatever. And I'm thinking at least we had interest in alien character species characters that we could
voyage of the
right that we could kind of like follow and be entertained by, but here it's just it's just kind of like your typical, you know, badly written tourists. And it just didn't do anything for me. In that case, it felt more like a John Nathan Turner script or something.
Yes. Yes.
Let's blame JNT. Yeah.
No, that's a good way to put it, actually.
There's no character development at all.
No.
Nothing. Not among the companions, not among the other characters. I mean, they're so superficial.
Oh, exactly. And I could have cared less if the mother came back at the very end to save the daughter. And it was,
oh, yeah. That was a stupid subplot anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's like, eh. You know, it's just like, it's just getting stupider and stupider as the episode went on. It's like, I don't care. I really don't care.
It's like Bella betraying Ryan should have been this big moment. We should have been like, but nope, we don't care. Don't care at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Bella's terrorism thing didn't make sense either.
Came completely out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially because it was kind of inferred that she was the responsible for the viruses, and yet she was sitting there sucking her thumb. I'm like, did she get a virus? Like, I
She handled the virus. She mishandled her own virus. That's how that happened.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Mm. As you do.
Like, you know, you had to be smart enough to figure that out, though, you know, because the story didn't tell us.
Not smart enough. You just had to care.
Exactly. That's a good, better way to put it. we're tearing this one apart. Well, sorry, folks at home.
It deserves it.
Yeah,
it really does. It was horrible. One of the worst Doctor
Who stories I have ever seen.
Ever? Let me show you a couple Colin Baker stories first.
Oh.
It's right up there with Sleep No More.
Mr. Sandman.
Yeah, and here I was hoping that, you know, I was actually looking forward to something we were gonna get that wasn't written by, you know, Chibnall, and we just go even worse into it, and it's like I don't know what the future of this series is, really. It makes me wonder, because we're three episodes in, you know. That's what, a fifth of the series, right?
Yeah, we only have seven more weeks of this.
Yeah. Seven more weeks. And we wasted three, right? So,
I don't think we wasted three. I enjoyed last two episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good for you.
Well, exactly. Good for me. And I was entertained, but this week, no, I was not.
Well, this week's looked good. I mean, the Tenerife locations were nice.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that.
I agree, and you know, the giant, you know, I guess
quarry.
Yeah, there was a bit no, quarry running. No,
that's Mount TD.
Yeah, it's a dormant volcano. So, but it looks like a quarry. It might as well have been a quarry.
Exactly. And they had a giant, you know, like, looks like the kingdom or something there. You know, it was just...
That's the auditorium in Tenerife.
Okay, so you say.
But yeah, there was a couple moments where they, you know, I think the writer was like really clever thinking, oh my God, you know, they're going to be like, oh my God, it's her mother. Oh, wow. Or, oh my God, Orphan 55 is Earth. And it's just, they just fell flat.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that, another thing of many that didn't make sense was they ran across that pristine label. It said Made in China.
Yeah.
And
what?
I mean, if this is post apocalyptic Earth, why is there a pristine Made in China thing?
Yeah, a candy machine of all things.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, maybe I don't know. That just, it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
No, and it's gonna be funny because when they, you know, had the whole thing that, you know, we're saying where the people abandoned the planet and stuff like that, I started thinking Firefly about the Earth that was. And it ended up turning out to be Earth.
So, spoiler alert.
Exactly. It's like, it's Earth. It's Earth.
I expect so much more, especially since they seem to have taken so much more time to make this season. You know, like they had a lot of time to make this season, and I thought, okay, they're gonna, you know, things are gonna be better. Things are gonna look like they are. They put the time and effort in, and it just
goes to show you, if you don't have a good foundation, if the writing isn't good, then it's pretty hard to pull off a decent episode.
Right. If you have a shitty foundation, you're still gonna get a crap house.
And that, yeah. and that points right to the relationship between the Doctor and the three companions. Like, if they were entertaining, capable, intriguing, et cetera, but this show has not done its due diligence in giving us companions that we care about. It's painful at times, because they just, you know, you want them to die or be left behind or be replaced by somebody else. I mean, legitimately, you don't mind, because I'm not invested in any of these three people, and I've been hanging out with them for, you know.
Did you really care, though, about Nardo and Bill?
Yes.
You did?
Oh, I did.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. God, yes.
I would absolutely say
I
yes.
love Bill, and Nardo is great.
Okay. Good for you guys.
I mean, I'm not saying I compare, but I wouldn't put them at my worst companions ever. But they're down the list. They're not anywhere close to the top. That's for sure.
I mean, we could have had Mel in this episode.
Oh God. No, I'm not going that far.
Oh God. I just threw up in my mouth. Okay.
because at least they, you know, at least, you know, I can listen to them without wanting to, you know, claw out my ears.
Just think you could have gotten, of course, Graham in a Speedo. Thank you. That's all I needed to say. Have a good night, everybody.
And on that note.
Exactly. Wow. So were there anything, you know, that we did like? You know, was there any positive other than Jody? I'll put it that way.
Oh, we'll see. I was going to say Jody.
I know.
Well, as Kirby pointed out, I mean, I thought the effects, the location were good. I think we all pointed out that the aliens looked kind of cool. I don't know if I was agree. I liked the way they were shot all the way, but and some of the directing behind them. But I mean, they were kind of interesting looking, and I'll give them that. You know, as far as Doctor Who monsters go, we've certainly seen far, far worse. That's about it.
When you bring up that, we didn't talk about the directing much, but I thought the directing was also pretty bad.
Sure. Oh, yes. I agree with that.
Episode, the camera angles were just bizarre.
Well, even the scenes going points. One scene to the next didn't even move smoothly.
No, it was really choppy.
Yeah, it was.
Well, and the best case of point of that is, like I said, we didn't feel like we were in danger. We didn't feel like, I didn't feel like those monsters were threatening, because I couldn't even get a glimpse or a hint of what they were doing. And that's bad directing. I mean, you can write, you know, someone's writing down, like, you know, the monsters are taking out guests left and right and all that kind of stuff. But it's up to the director and the editor to, like, make us want to hide behind the couch. Right. And they, mm-hmm. you don't even feel that at all.
You could run away from them quite easily.
Yeah, that's true. You could.
And these people must have been stormtrooper trained for shooting. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a good director actually can almost get by bad writing. I mean, they can really elevate bad writing to at least make it enjoyable. But that is not what happened here.
No. Nope, nope, nope. So, I don't want to keep on tearing this apart and anything. Any final thoughts before we go ahead and rate this one? Wow. Okay.
No.
Okay. So let's go ahead. 1 out of 5 TARDISes. Kirby, you get to go first since you're our guest.
One.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
absolutely horrible.
Now,
I don't want to see this one again, and yet I have to watch it again for the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast this weekend.
Oh, I feel for you.
Actually, I may not watch it again. I'll say I couldn't stand it.
Wow. That's okay. That's pretty telling right there.
Okay, then. All right. Mary.
Oh, man, I wish I could give it negative numbers. But I will also say one, because it's a complete and utter failure. It really is. The directing, the writing, the acting isn't even all that great on some levels, except Jodi. Jodi's fantastic, so she pulls it out of negative territory. But other than that, it's just a complete and total mess.
Okay. That could be a possibility. All right, Mikey.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I'm going to say that like I said, the quote at the end, you know, if I took that on its own without reference to anything in the episode, her delivery of that felt like a Doctor moment. And I haven't been getting a lot of those from her in this series. So I really appreciated that. I thought this was, you know, a very, very cool Doctor moment. And I love it when the Doctor has these things to say. I'm not happy about how we got there, but I like the fact that we got there. And because of that, I'm going to go as high as give this a 3.
Okay. That's totally fair. Wow. I'm going to give this one a 2.5. I would have gone lower if it was Colin's Doctor, maybe. But Jodi actually saved it for me. And agreed, I did like what she said. And, you know, how she said it, the future is not written yet. And, you know, you have people, you know, your politicians and blah, blah, blah. They're trying to make the political statement. And is too little too late was my thought for that. And so it got a 2.5. I don't like going below a 3 for Doctor Who, but this one deserved it. It was a true stinker. Were any of these actors in it actors we were supposed to know?
Yes. Or anything? Yeah, I actually had heard a lot of people were disappointed, and they were really excited. I should say they were really excited for Laura Frazier appearance on the show, and a lot of people were disappointed by that. She was in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, and she's done a bunch of other stuff that that a lot of people know her from. So I know that she was one. There's one of the guys, I think the green haired dude is a comedian. A YouTube comedian star, something like that.
James Buckley, he's a stand-up comedian, and the boy Silas was in his Dark Materials.
So they had some people that I think made this for some people compelling, and there was a level of excitement about it, but I just want to like. You know, I know I should have mentioned this with final thoughts, or whatever, but, you know, as far as Doctor Who being heavy-handed and all that kind of stuff, I don't mind, like, you know, I think sometimes subtlety doesn't work. I think sometimes people need a slap in the face. I think it does need to be heavy-handed at times. And I don't mind that at all, especially in today's environment when it seems like so many people are not effing getting it, right? The message is not being heard. So if some shows are taking it upon themselves, or things are taking it upon themselves to try to get that message out, as quote unquote heavy handed as that may be, then God bless them. At least they're trying to fight the good fight. And, you know, I'm not going to come down on a show for that. But when it does so in a kind of empty way, and not an entertaining way, then that's a problem. But as far as the message goes, this is a message that people need to hear. It's relevant now. It was relevant when Rod Serling did it in Twilight Zone, and and in Planet of the Apes and that kind of thing. It's even more relevant now because we didn't listen back then. And you know, I mean, I don't know how much more louder this messages like this have to be like shouted before people kind of go, oh, well, yeah, okay, let's do something about that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you that there's nothing wrong with using a platform such as Doctor Who to deliver a message. And I think that's a very important message. And I can applaud them for being willing to go there. I just wish they had done it in a better way.
Me too.
No, agreed. Well, we definitely would love to hear from you guys at home. Address everything to Mike Gordon, of course.
All flame mail at, goes to.
Exactly. At EarthStationWho at ESONetwork.com.
Oh, one thing with this one more time. I watched it last night with my oldest daughter, and she loved it. So there you go.
Really?
Hey, that's, you know what? That's okay.
Okay, there we go.
That's okay. And I appreciate that, and I'm glad for that, you know, because I'm glad to see that it's resonating with somebody.
I did not tell her my opinion of it before we watched it. I just sat down with her, and because we're watching everything.
You know, it was funny though, because Judy wanted me to watch it before her because she was doing some other stuff. I am so glad I didn't. I am so glad I just waited to watch it the one time. Because I don't know if I'll watch this one again. But, you know, all right, folks. We will be back again next week, hopefully with a better episode and more positive attitude. We're going to be talking all about Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror. It should be very interesting to see.
I love that title.
Oh, just the title alone.
I love the idea of the Doctor and Tesla meeting. I love that. I'm like, fingers crossed, do not F this up.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
This could be one of the coolest moments in Doctor Who history, and I just wish I had more confidence in the crew that's delivering these kind of things.
Yep, agreed. So, of course, we'll be back. You could find us, of course, up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. We will be there. My name is Mike Faber. Let me thank, of course, Kirby for being here tonight.
I'm glad to be on.
Thanks for taking one for the team, Kirby.
It's always good. It's always awesome. Where can we find you, Kirby?
I'm one of the crew on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. It's 20MB Doctor Who podcast, which is based out of the Isle of Wight. I'm one of the token Americans there. Right now we're going through these same stories, but when we're not talking about new Doctor Who, we are going through all Doctor Who from, we started at the beginning about 3 years ago, and we are currently in Peter Davison's era.
Awesome. So hopefully you'll have fun talking about this one again. So
yeah,
thanks for joining us on a wonderful occasion. And Mr. Mike, always great to talk to you, sir.
And as always, it's my pleasure.
And Mary, thanks for putting up with us tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always fun to talk with you guys, bad Doctor Who or no.
Exactly. You know, any Doctor Who is always fun to talk about. And trust us, we have a lot of bad Doctor Who to talk about still on the show. So, and I don't mean the season. We don't know anything that's happening on the season. So until then, we will be back next week. See you all then. Peace, and have fun traveling through time. Boom, done.
You have been listening to Earth Station Who, a bi-weekly pop culture podcast dedicated to all things Doctor Who, featuring talents from across the universe. All topics on the show are the sole opinions of the individual and are used for entertainment value alone. You can subscribe to our podcast up on iTunes, Stitcher, or follow our blog at www.esopodcast.com. You can also follow us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+. If you enjoyed the show, please leave feedback up on iTunes. Yeah.
This is a Nerdlanta flashback featuring comic book artist Lawson Chambers.
Whenever people reboot things, there's this instinct to make it darker and grittier.
Yeah.
And you're like, you don't need to see a darker, grittier Sonic the Hedgehog. That is wild to me that, like, in our modern age, that our trailer for a movie could come out and fans could go, no, we hate the way that little blue man looks. Change it.
New podcast episodes will be available soon.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.